This
week
on
Barbell
Shrugged,
we
talk
to
Shayna
about
training
and
nutrition
and
mistakes
and
ketogenic diets that suck
and
books we read
that
and
don't suck.
And
like us on iTunes and Facebook.
Yo, this is CTP, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrug Podcast, the number one strength and conditioning podcast for CrossFitters.
If you want to check out the video version, which you should, go to fitter.tv and watch that, because it's way cooler than just listening.
And how do you spell fitter.tv there, Mr. Bledsoe?
F-I-T-R.tv.
He's a good speller. All right, while you're there, definitely go and sign up for the newsletter. As part of signing up for the newsletter, you'll get a video that Mike made where he shows you the top 7 snatch mistakes that you're probably making that are keeping you from hitting that next PR and lifting some big weight.
Yeah, look at the seminars, tune into the show, and get ready to become a more awesomer version of
you. We give you the tools you need to succeed.
You become a tool.
We're rolling.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore,
yo,
and our guest, Shayna Alverson.
Hey!
We're hanging out in Atlanta. Hey. Hanging out in Atlanta, going to go to the Garage Games tomorrow. Doug, Chris, and I are all going to be speaking. By now, by the time you hear this, we will
It'll
have spoken.
Happened.
And then That's you will right. hear if it sucked or not, essentially.
Wait, I want to know, can you guys see my boots?
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say. Who wants to see my boot? I was like, what? Oh, boots.
The highest rated barbell shrug ever.
We're going to edit it. Can
that's
you
right.
guys see my...
My emotions were like up and down.
It went from being excited to very disappointed.
I was like, damn, she loves cameras.
She only had one shot. All right. This episode of Barbell Shrug is brought to you by Mobility Kits. You can go to mobilitykits.com.
Show them the logo, man. What's up?
Well, I'm about to show. So Shayna's never seen a mobility kit before. She doesn't know what's in it.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're going to go.
It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So excited right now.
She has no idea what she's seeing. All she knows now is that it's a mobility kit.
And it's orange.
So
and
I'm
going to
let you stick your hand in there and pull out something. There you go. Oh.
It's like The Price is Right.
And that's what you like, right? You like this.
Whoa.
You like the stick.
It's a stick.
I love it. I love the stick. I like to hold the stick and
stroke the stick. That's a 6-inch stick.
This is what you use to rub out your body.
There you go.
This is the other thing I want to show you.
Feels so
was
good.
The peanut.
I like the way it wiggles when you.
Don't besmirch Mike's product. Come on.
Yeah.
The audio people are
yeah.
going to hate this.
Yeah, the audio,
Mike's
yeah.
in the background like, God, what
so
are you doing to Mike?
They're talking over each other.
No, because they can't see any of this.
All right, this is the beautiful thing about
it's basically a ball sack.
Balls.
It's a floppy ball sack is what right. it is.
It is, yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
It comes
For
out as
you
a peanut.
Who cannot see.
Yeah. Mike is like, this is not how I would handle this.
This is my dream.
But Mike is not happy with this commercial at all.
Oh, we're sorry, McG. It's very functional ball sack.
No, but you can.
Actually, I'm going to let you, Shayna. I'm going to let you handle this.
But in all seriousness, you put the balls in the sack. You put it in your back. You rub around. You can put it on your butt and roll around your balls.
Roll the ball sack on your back.
It's actually what you do, and it rubs out the nuts. The
what?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Double entendre is one of my favorite forms of speech, so I got to tell you. Ooh.
We've gone way too
there's
far
There's more
down
things
that road.
In the mobility tube.
And there's also bands that you can tie around your neck.
What the... Is this a censored podcast? Can I curse?
Yeah,
you can definitely curse.
It doesn't matter.
What the fuck is this?
We gotta bring Mike on the scene. Mike, come over here and show us what this stuff's all about. Tell her what to do with this band at least.
After you get injured, it serves as a really cool arm sling.
You stretch with the band.
That's what he says.
In case of an emergency, though, it functions.
No,
it imagine that's a sling if you do get hurt.
In all fairness, I'm sure you can traction yourself with that. You can put it around parts of your body and. attach the other end to something that won't move, and then stretch yourself.
You put this over my
lay on your back,
here.
Put your foot in it, stretch your hamstring.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. Just like that.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
Again, you're going to have to go watch the video version of this.
McG, yeah. We're not...
Listeners, I want to apologize right now.
McG, I swear I'm not making fun. I'm just
so anyway, it is a good part. When your mobility kit business fails... You can mark this as the point where it started going downhill.
This is the tide
like
turn.
It really is like a Christmas stocking.
Did,
though.
What did I say? Did I say what, when, or if? I'm pretty sure I said when.
In any case, thank you for your
sponsorship. If you want more information, go to mobilitykits.com. We're going to move on.
Winning.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. You can follow
nice.
At our hat. Was it?
At Barbell Shrug.
At Barbell Shrug.
Wow.
And then also my own personal one is Michael Bledsoe. You got Doug E. Larson.
Douglas E. Larson.
Douglas E. Larson. And
Chris Moore XL.
Chris Moore XL. Because I'm
Shane
large.
Alverson.
Shane Alverson.
Yeah.
So we got some really good questions today from the Twitters. And we wanted people to ask Shane some questions. And the question that I think was the most interesting was, if you could go back 5 years, what would you go back and tell yourself? Was it mistake?
Like, yeah, what mistakes
what
have you
mistake
made?
What would you want to try to avoid, or things you would change about your training?
Now, granted, you don't really want to go back and correct your mistakes, because your mistakes are what have made you who you are today. And if you didn't make the mistakes you made, you'd be somebody else, maybe somebody worse. I just want to make
unless
that,
you don't love yourself.
I just want to make that plain up front.
That I actually really agree with that.
It is true.
I think a lot of times you learn more from your mistakes than you do when you just do everything perfectly.
If everything comes mm-hmm. easy to you, that's just chicken shit. You learn nothing. You'll be a dumb, ignorant, dogmatic son of a bitch.
You
that's
dumb
true.
Fuck.
I'm not even being sarcastic or
that's
over the
totally
top.
True.
You sound really
not
bitter when you say it, though.
It's
not
true. You got to make mistakes. You have to. That's what makes a good coach. That's what makes a good athlete.
So what mistakes have you made?
Well, before we even get to the mistakes I've made, I also want to say that being brave enough to make mistakes is important too, because if you are so worried that you're going to look stupid when you make a mistake, you're not going to put yourself out there the way that you do.
That's why people don't compete. They think they're going to look dumb in front of their friends or from spectators, and they lose this opportunity to learn. And
totally.
Grow.
And it also can change the way you behave in competition. You know, where let's say in the training room, you're doing everything perfectly and you're like, I got this shit. And then you go and there's, you know, 1,000 people watching you, and all of a sudden you freeze up and you're like, oh my God,
it's a little different. It's a little different in that context to execute, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And some people thrive under that. I mean, I think I'm a natural performer. We were talking about this earlier, but I used to be a musician.
We were talking about how much of a great performer I am.
No.
Yeah,
not necessarily that.
Breakfast,
I'm a great
she was like,
performer,
I'm so awesome.
I do. It's hard to suppress when you're this good.
What did you play?
I play guitar and sing and write songs and had a band.
That's awesome.
I think that's a lot of people out there probably don't know that about you. Shane Alverson, and they think
you mean not
CrossFit
everyone has
games.
Seen my all over the map too.
In fact, for everyone out there that doesn't know you, give us like a 2-minute bio on who you are and what you've done in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah. My name is Shayna Alverson. I own CrossFit East Decatur, which is in Decatur, Georgia, basically Atlanta. Started doing CrossFit in 2007 and opened a CrossFit gym in 2008. But wow. I started teaching exercise when I was 19, and that was 17 years ago. So I don't just have exercise background in CrossFit.
You're an OG.
That's right.
Yeah. I taught aerobics at Gold's Gym when I was 19 years old. Dang.
Been around.
Yes.
You've seen your share of Zubaz pants, haven't you?
Oh, my God. And also, it was like the tail end of when it was really cool to wear the thong leotard to the gym with the shimmery
Lord.
Tights that almost look like new.
I miss that. Can we bring that back?
It's
shimmery tight days.
I want to see CrossFit girls doing thrusters.
It's the very That's end of the 1980s. No, you don't.
In the
80s
thongs
really
that
don't.
Go up over the hips?
Yeah.
At least your legs look long and lean.
They're taller than they are wide.
Do CrossFit. Get long, lean muscles.
So
complimentary thong.
Most notable, you've been to the CrossFit Games a couple times now, right?
Yep, four times.
Four times.
Mm-hmm. 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012.
There you go.
It's pretty awesome. That's also when it's getting really hard to go to the games.
Yeah.
The other thing that makes you pretty legit, just getting the opportunity to compete on that scale. That's awesome.
It's gotten harder every year. And pretty much every year I'm like, well, I'm going to try again, but I probably it's not going to happen this year. So I don't know. I think I go into regionals being like, hopeful but not too attached, because I feel like, you know, if I go in expecting to place in the top three, mm-hmm. just I would be so crushed. So every year I pretty much just set my sight, like, I'm going to do the best that I can, but if I don't qualify, you know, life will still go on.
Mm-hmm. That's always the struggle, right? Like, going into a competition with the goal of, I want to do what I know I'm capable of, have a good day, and if I don't make it, at least I know that everything else is outside of my control. I prepared, I did what it took, I put in the work, I had a good showing, hit the events and lifts I wanted to hit and did well at, and then if you don't make it, you don't make it. You can't control other awesome athletes showing up, also coming with their best. It's just out of your control.
Mm-hmm. Mick Goldrick says this quite a bit, and I really like it, because, you know, you don't want to let the sport define you or define who you are. You know, kind of goes into, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
That's funny, because I thought every one of his eggs was in a CrossFit basket. Like, every fucking egg was in a CrossFit basket.
I saw his eggs just the other day, and he had them all in one basket.
You don't get a body like that by having your eggs in multiple baskets.
Wait, take off your shirt real fast so everybody can see.
Do
what
it.
Not.
Pull your shirt up.
Guys, I got that fantastic idea earlier.
Fantastic.
There are girls right now pausing their iTunes so they can go.
Like, where's the video version of this podcast?
I will pose to you with my shirt off, but I have to stand sideways, and I got to pull my shorts up over my. From here up, I've got abs like you wouldn't believe.
from the chest up.
Chest up and from the side. I'll rock that pose.
I don't know why, but every time you talk about your abs, Mike starts laughing.
That's because in his mind, he's like, I want to see him so bad, please.
I've been waiting for this moment.
Any asshole can have a six-pack. If you have a well-crafted Powhatan belly, you got something special.
Agreed.
The keg.
Agreed.
No six-pack. Yeah. It's the keg.
Exactly.
So over the last 4 years, your training has to have evolved and changed over time. Competition's
Absolutely.
Gotten more stiff. You've learned so much of the last 4 years, I would imagine. Like, how has your training changed?
Well, I started out just doing what, you know, just regular old CrossFit, one workout a day. Kind of followed main site a little bit when I first started CrossFitting, and then we had a short break where we had to do workouts in the park every day. We didn't really have a gym to work out in right before we were opening our affiliate, so we kind of had to modify the main site workouts into something you could do in the park on the monkey bars, because we didn't have pull-up bars.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I decided I wanted to try for the 2009 games, I contacted a friend of mine who was working at Brand X in Ramona, California.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are, I think they're most famous for doing all the scaling for the CrossFit main site wads. Like, that's where the FAQ refers them to, is Brand X.
Okay.
It's the home of CrossFit Kids, mm-hmm. Jeff and Mickey Martin. So one of the guys that worked out there and worked there, he was like, you try out the strength bias thing. They're about to release an article on it in the CrossFit Journal. The article hadn't come out yet. He was like, we've been testing this for a while. It works really well. So he was sending me some programming stuff. So I essentially started out on strength bias.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of lifting, some Metcons, just making sure that I mixed up the time domains. And
mm-hmm. So is that more of a structured strength program that repeats on a weekly basis that you do now, or you just do more heavy stuff?
How is that different from what I do now, or...
Nope. Yeah,
at the time
when you were doing the strength bias, yeah. was it just more heavier stuff and not just Metconning, or did you start doing like a strength program? Like, a lot of people follow 5-3-1, for example, which
yeah.
is the same Monday, Wednesday, Friday type movements over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's based on a very structured, either on starting strength or maybe a 5-3-1 type of program, but it's definitely structured. So you have the same three or four lifts that you do every week, and you repeat those every single week, and
otherwise, it's how you get strong.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
Let yourself get good at something, let an adaptation actually settle in, and mm-hmm. not just switch to something else that's more fun. And you got to kind of grind on something and put your work in.
Yeah, and there's a CrossFit Journal article that lays out the whole program for you. Like, there's mm-hmm. a whole chart. Here's what you do if you want to follow this program. So mm-hmm.
So people can just Google CrossFit Strength Bias and find the journal article mm-hmm. that first got you on kind of the strength paradigm.
Yeah. I mean, the article didn't exist when I started on it, but it was the research for the article
mm-hmm.
that came out a little bit later, like right around the same. Should be a 2009 mm-hmm. or late mm-hmm. 2008 or 2009 CrossFit Journal article.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed on that program for a while. Then qualified for the games, which I think I was really surprised, and just kind of stayed on the training that I had been on, kind of writing my own as you go along. And then in 2010, qualified for the games, just still on my own programming. And the time between regionals and the games, I did not know what to do with myself. I was like, I have 6 weeks to train. I don't know what the fuck to do. I have no idea what to do in these 6 weeks. Because mm-hmm. I knew I had another big competition coming up, but I just didn't know how to shape that 6 weeks.
By the way, it's really tough to get good or better at anything in 6 weeks. I mean, that's a very short period of time, especially if you're an already trained, experienced athlete. 6 weeks is nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I know now is that in 6 weeks, you can maintain or dial in a volume in that you can actually start to peak out your conditioning a little bit. So that's what I didn't know how to do. And so at that time, I contacted CJ Martin, who is most famous for being coach at Cross Invictus. He coaches that team, and he also coaches Josh Bridges and a whole slew of individual athletes are working with him now.
Somewhere in the audience, Matt Baird's going, I know that guy.
Matt Baird does know that guy. Well, CJ's coach happens to be James Fitzgerald, OPT, or he was at the time. I don't know if he is now. But I contacted him because his team consistently performed really well, and that impressed me. And I looked at his programming a little bit, and I was like, this is kind of cool. I'm going to try what this guy has going on. So he helped me through that 6 weeks in 2010. And then in 2011, I was injured for part of the season, and I didn't think I was going to compete. And it was like, it was January, and I was like, I'm 88%. Don't ask me where I got the number. I'm not competing this year because I'm too injured. I can't do it.
What did you injure?
I had a back injury and a shoulder injury. So apparently I partially tore my labrum when I was a kid. I probably did
Doug knows a thing or two about that.
I showed horses.
Did that too.
So
that's kind of like the cartilage. Yeah, it's kind of like the cartilage in your shoulder. For
I was showing his horse this thing, and then he kicked me. I got hurt.
Well,
for everyone that thought a labrum is a labia, when you guys said Doug did that too, it's not a joke. It's the cartilage in your shoulder.
Not labia.
You also have one in your hip.
In your hip too.
It's a. And I just found out this year, confirmed by ultrasound, there is a partial tear in it. But
in your hip or your shoulder still?
My shoulder.
Okay.
But and that probably happened when I was a kid being thrown from a horse. Just that just happened enough times. That's the only trauma I can think of that would be enough to do that kind of damage. But I had just trained on it so much it started to bother me. So my shoulder was messed up, my back was messed up, and all I could do was like PVC stuff and jump roping, maybe a little jogging. So for 6 months I just worked on mobility stuff and technique stuff with like a PVC or
But what's really interesting is that that should be one thing I'm talking about tomorrow. Shh, don't
interesting
give it away.
Stuff.
Well, you have already talked about it by the time this posts, so
yeah, I won't get. But no, it's interesting that when you have an injury like that, you think, "Oh man, fuck, my dream is ruined. I can't go on now. I've lost all this progress." When actually, the injury, which makes you take pause, which makes you stop and think about what you want to do and what you need to do once you heal, and it gives you time away from all this training. Is the event that allows you to come back and perform better. It's like a forced break from training. It's like a forced periodization block where you were forced to do nothing other than what you could do, which was rest and reinforce maybe some motion with a very light implement like a PVC pipe and think about what you needed to do. Otherwise, you just keep charging off in some direction.
That's exactly.
That could have been the complete wrong direction, but you just had full throttle. You just went for it. It could have been the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I mean, now that I look back on it, it was a blessing in disguise because not only did it force me to like take a step back and work even more on technique and move my body the right way, I learned so many things that I can now teach my clients and my trainees when they come to me and I'm like, I'm injured. Now I'm armed because I know how to deal with it. I feel like I've had every injury on the planet. And honestly, and I'm curious to know if you agree with this, the worst thing about an injury is how much you worry about it. Is that mentally you're like, oh my God, I can't train. Oh my God, I can't train. Oh my God, my shoulder hurts. Like it's consuming and it's all you think about. Yeah, and I think
for your whole career, the hardest thing is to convince yourself that to get better, you don't need to constantly grind on your body all the time. Like I mean, I'm like only 32, but my training age is like 79. And I still can't like get past the fact that if my deadlift feels slow, better keep deadlifting, bro. Mm-hmm. When really the thing, I know, if you ask me what will fix your deadlift, I'll tell you, not deadlifting so much, but I will still try to deadlift more.
Yeah.
It's why you need somebody else to say, you're being dumb. And you go, you're right, coach, I'm being dumb. And then you get better. It's hard to get the lesson.
It's so hard to take your own advice. You know, it's so hard to, like,
that's true.
I catch myself all the time, like, telling my client something, and I'm like, oh my God, I should really listen to what I say for a change.
You need somebody else to tell you what the deal is.
Yeah. That's why coaches have coaches.
Coaches need
accountability.
Coaches.
Not because they don't know. They just need someone to hold them to their word.
Yep.
When you know, you think you know, and then because you think you know, you really think you know. When you don't actually know, you just know for somebody else. Right?
I don't know what he's talking about. Hashtag, you think you know. But you
I think one of the rules of Twitter is your hashtag thing can't be the full length of the tweet, because then it's like kind of hard to search for. If you have 140 characters,
are you just making that up, or is that a real rule?
I'm pretty sure I
don't want to
do that.
I can never tell when he's kidding about something.
Chris is full of shit.
Can you
all
like
the time.
Come up with that's some right. gesture that lets me know?
I'll have you know, I'm the second best bullshitter in the world. The first guy is this British politician I saw on YouTube. You know, Twitter. The guy asked him 45 times. So did you intimidate so and so with your line of questioning? The guy says, well, it depends. I acted well within my boundaries to do. No, did you or did you not? The guy for like 45 minutes is he's bullshitting. Look, I yield the crown to this bullshitter. This guy wins. I'm runner up.
You started out with a really good English accent there, and I thought you were gonna keep going with it. And it just morphed into American.
I had to force it out. We had to hurry up and get that story going.
Oh, anyway. I'm a little disappointed now.
Yeah. But the key thing is,
we still haven't answered the first question, for the record.
You can't see.
My history is taking too long.
You competed in
we're talking about
2011.
Good shit, though.
Yeah, so in 2011, I did not think I was going to compete. And so I didn't, I was like, I'm going to.
Because of injuries?
Yeah, because of injuries. And I was like, I'm going to sign up for the Open and try it out and just see how it goes. Mm. And I ended up getting like 20th in the region. So after the Open, I contacted CJ again and I was like, I guess I'm going to go for it because the Open went really well. My body feels good. Training is going well. So what do we do? So that year, he helped me qualify for regionals.
Mm-hmm. So what were the specific changes that he made to your programming that helped you qualify for regionals?
His programming was completely different from what I'd been doing, because I'd been doing really, I would call
that alone is good.
Pure CrossFit, you know, like some
strength that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people.
CrossFit with like a little extra lifting thrown in.
Does that mean like you're doing days where you lift and then there's other days where you just wad it up? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was like there was pretty much a wad or a Metcon, right? When people say wad, they pretty much mean Metcon.
These days. Yeah.
That was really funny. That just threw me off right there. But pretty much there was a wad every day and there was a lift 3 or 4 days a week with the strength bias thing. Mm-hmm. Well, when I started on CJ's programming, it just looked different than what I've been doing before. There's a lot of intervals. So a lot of, you know, do this for 30 seconds, rest for 90 seconds. And that is something I had not done before. And I really had no concept of why I was doing it. I just did what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. And then in 2011 at the games, you know, the swimming thing came up. That sucked. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to handstand walk, and that sucked.
Had you not practiced either one of those?
No.
Not at all?
No. I didn't. Yeah.
And how did you perform in those? Did you handstand walk
very
at all?
0 inches.
Zero? Like, you couldn't even get up and just like take a step?
I know how that feels. God.
It was so embarrassing. I am totally the
fittest on the earth.
But I got to tell you, when I came home, I spent 30 minutes every single day learning how to get inverted and do a handstand and front roll out of a handstand and then try to actually move.
Awesome.
Now I can, I think my PR is like 40 feet, but it took me a
while
to get there.
What is good? Well, I've never been upside down ever in my life. So what is good for walking with your hands? I use my feet. I have these perfectly evolved things that carry me to and fro. And I bound with the Earth's gravity. It works really good. So how far is good for walking? What's like the world record in handstand walking for CrossFitters?
Didn't Rich Froning do like
2 miles?
Over 100 yards?
Shooting targets with his feet?
What the records were?
I have no idea.
So I think he just went the whole field.
Yeah, I mean, so almost 100 yards on your hands. Just at the
50
games.
50 yards. Yeah.
Jesus. I'm sure.
I bet you the world record is something just like out days. Of this world. I bet
that's
you it's like
miles.
I bet you it's like 15 miles.
Yeah,
but you know what, bro?
The world record for one arm pull ups is like 200.
What?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's like
that
120.
That guy's only got 1 year
domain. Old that weighs like 30 pounds.
The world record for like one arm, one finger pull ups is like 36.
What?
Yeah,
but see, that's
they're so far out.
That guy's all they can do.
Concept.
It
and
sounds
they have, like,
impressive.
One giant arm, and the other one's like real skinny.
It sounds impressive. That's such a narrow domain. That's so narrowly modal.
Yeah. I think the world jacked. Record in 24 hours is like 11,000 pull-ups.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Some people
something
are just
like
insane.
That, not kipping. Yeah.
So you
the dude's like 6'4".
You finished
no
2011. You got better at handstand push-ups, but
handstand walking.
Handstand walking mm-hmm. But you didn't get better at swimming, from what I know. And then
no.
I hate swimming. I just hate it.
She's been avoiding swimming. So then you went 2012.
Yes. So I just decided to work with a different coach in 2012, but I didn't know who to work with. So I didn't find anyone until like January. So I started working with Doug Chapman, who is HyperFit USA or CrossFit Ann Arbor, which is in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he's more famously Julie Fouché's coach than he is my coach. Mm-hmm. But I worked with him last year.
I'll call her Foucher.
Foucher.
He's America.
I love the Foucher. Because I went to so many training camps at Doug's place, we got to be really good pals. And mm-hmm. she's legit. I love her. She
awesome. Needs to come on the show, CTP.
Uh-oh.
You're on.
It's another tweet. Got the camera shake. That's right.
So yeah, where were we? 2012.
You're going to tell me your games history and
yes.
how your program has changed over the years and
okay,
the mistakes you made, what you learned along the way.
Going on Doug's programming was like
that stuff.
Being on Doug's programming, I basically felt like he was trying to kill me. It was just hours and hours of destructive volume. Mm. Every day that maybe if you're 23, it's not going to kill you, but
yeah,
I will be turning 37 in May and have been training CrossFit for almost 6 years now. And mm-hmm.
that is,
so,
also that's the biggest thing I've learned in my training life is that it's really humiliatingly obvious that I am not quite what I was when I was 19 and doing silly shit and feeling like $100 afterwards. $100. I say 100 because a million's not realistic. $100 is good. But like, I used to be like on the bench, I played football in college, right? We had to train for the 225 rep test. And I was pretty good at that. My best all time was like 38 or 39 reps. I was happy with that.
That's bench press?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 225. But you train for it by, we train for it by doing fucking 10 sets of 10. I do 10 sets of 10 bench with 275 with like a minute rest between sets, a minute and a half rest, 2 minutes rest at the max. Awesome. So I was really good at benching. And then you go do like 5 sets of 10 incline press and then 100 reps of pushdowns and then go do a bunch of push-ups and running after. Because your coach just says, oh, just do all this shit because that seems like it's good. And you just do it and you have no problems. Now, if I do 5 sets of 10 once, I can't bench for like 3 weeks. Because my bicep tendons are inflamed and throbbing.
Yeah, and that's the most notable thing about, you know, I'll use bunny ears aging, is that, I mean, it's the recovery is just slower. Yeah. You don't recover as fast. You don't respond to training as quickly, I feel like. So this year, it was actually, I went to OPT training camp in January of this year. And I couldn't participate because I had the flu, which sucked. Because I had to watch everybody else working out, and I was just sitting there in a sweatsuit shivering.
Oh, God.
Sweating and shivering.
Yeah. I'm actually glad that I went because the one thing that, like, soothed me to hear was, you know, if you do have an older, specifically training age, it's okay to train submaximally. And that was a relief to me. Because it meant to me I don't have to go balls to the wall every single day and just destroy myself in the gym. Because not only is that hard to recover from, mm-hmm. it's also not very much fun anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It wears you
need,
down for a while.
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
more submax reps. You need more space in between intense, specific exercises. And I think the real thing that came into focus for me over the years is that you need more variation with time. Like as somebody on your level, with your training history, can't go into the gym like every day and grind on the same list of things. Mentally, you get dull pretty quick. Physically, you lose your sharpness really quick. You need more variation. That's
yeah.
that's like the golden training rule is that when you start off, you need to pick a few things to get really awesome at it. Kind of like when you did your strength training program. Like you bench, you squat, you do pulls, you work your Olympic lifts, you get technically sound. You do that all the time. But with time, you can't really just keep doing one kind of lift all the time and keep progressively adding weights. You're going to hit a wall, and if you keep pushing, you're going to lose more time than just a tiny little tweak or injury would put you on a belt. You need to learn when it's time to go up to the next level and get a bit fancier.
Yeah, and I think
which,
it's
by the way,
just
we talk about that in the Simple Strength seminar, homie. Isn't that right? Shake that camera. Yeah.
Yes. And I think also it's not just that training so much volume or balls to the wall every day wears you down physically, but also mentally. Like, you know, if you really don't want to go to the gym that day and you're kind of begrudgingly showing up at the gym and just going through the motions, you're going to get less out of it than if you're like, I am about to handle this shit today, and you go in there with a much better attitude, you're going to get more out of your training. So that is what is different this year about last year. And I called up Doug this year, and I was like, I love you, man. Love you. Mm-hmm. And you will always be a coach and mentor to me, but honestly, I cannot hang with your program. And it's
a CrossFit breakup.
Yeah, so less it testing,
it's not you, it's
more
me.
Training.
Yeah, less volume.
Testing, less volume, more training.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, do every minute on the minute for 10 minutes, do as many, no, I'm sorry, every minute do max back squats at like 135 pounds, and then rest the following minute and repeat 10 times. Mm-hmm. And go do Karen, or, you know, and it was just like that kind of volume, and I just, I wanted to kill myself.
If I did that right now, I would be sore for like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was Karen? I don't know the girl's name.
150 wall ball.
Oh, shit. No, yeah, yeah. Karen. Fucking McGoldrick. I tell this story like 5 times in a show. I'll tell you. I got like 5 wall ball shots into
the show,
this.
I've heard it.
No, I listened to the podcast.
I got 5 in, and this guy starts screaming at me. Come on, only 145 to go, bro. It was so good. Oh, God.
Please come to my gym and work out.
Like 3 weeks later,
do a class at my gym.
3 weeks later, I'm walking by, leaning my body forward, so I'm gonna fall over and then put my foot out. That's how I had to walk, you know, like sliding along a wall along
where
to move my body.
Where you walk and you try not to bend your knees at all.
Yeah, you just try, like, you just like lock. You lock it and you unlock it. And you just fall forward, lock it again, so you don't fall down.
Oh, no,
brutal.
What do we got for Twitter questions?
Well, we're not gonna move on to that.
Let's
first. Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Let's take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and finish out your history and you pretty much did that. And then we'll get to the questions that people are asking on Twitter. Technique Wad is going to be Mike McGoldrick, part 2 of the rope climb.
It's going to be insane!
Quick reminder, Mike McGoldrick also offers remote coaching, just as Shana was talking about. So if you want to go look up Mike McGoldrick for remote coaching, you can check it out in the shop.
You'll pay him to scream at you, you'll become awesome.
Watch his rope climb.
Hey guys, this is Rich Froning, and you're listening to the Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to fitter.tv.
Oh my God. All right, we're back. Hopefully you enjoyed the rope climb video. Good job, Mike.
I know, I did.
I'll be climbing a rope, never.
Chairs and everything.
That's right.
I will always be
anymore.
The fat gym kid.
I'm there now.
So we kind of wrapped up your training history and going to the games and all that kind of stuff. And let's address some questions. The one question we tried to address at the very beginning of the show, 30 minutes later, we're getting to it. Now I can't find it. Oh, yeah. If you could go back like 5 years, what would you advise yourself?
I think.
To do.
The queen is English.
That was understood. I think that. Knowing what my weaknesses were, knowing what my goats were, and ignoring them because it wasn't written in the program. So I knew I couldn't hand walk, and I had seen hand walking come up on the main site, and I was like, I should probably train this, but it's not in my program, so I'm just not going to worry about it. So I should have listened to my instinct and done some practicing on it anyway. Even though it wasn't written in the program. And, you know, swimming that year is another thing that was coming up on the main site. I ignored it. And then Dave Castro threw us in the ocean.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noted that I started doing after, I forget which year it was, but I saw something that only popped up. I think it was the ring handstand pushups. It only popped up once or twice in the CrossFit.com workout of the day. that whole year. It only popped up maybe twice. And then they had it at the games, and I go, wow, I can't just like start programming what I think CrossFit is. Like, I think a lot of coaches do that. They're like, oh, you know, this is what I think CrossFit should be, and they program that way, or what they and they kind of detach completely. And so I know every few weeks I like log on to CrossFit.com, even though I'm not doing CrossFit.com, and just see what movements are going on and kind of seeing what kind of what their expectations are, mm-hmm. you know, the volume in some of these hero wads. You know,
I mean, it really is foreshadowing for the games. If they're throwing in something that, like, you haven't seen before, like bar muscle ups, I don't think that is a coincidence. Like,
my prediction on the bar muscle ups is we'll see it in the Open.
Oh, this year?
That's my prediction.
Mm, yeah. Really?
My only reason I think they may not is just because of equipment for most CrossFit gyms. If they have like the rogue bars.
A lot of them have those rogue double bars that you can't.
But if you have the spiel bar, you're good to go. But most, I'd say maybe half the gyms I see now have that double mm-hmm. bar where you can't do a bar muscle up. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So basically you just said nothing there. Maybe there'd be a muscle up, bar muscle up, but you know, on second thought, nobody
probably
has
not.
That, so maybe it won't. I don't know. What the fuck am I talking about?
I think they want to.
They would love to.
My predictions, we know what we're going to see in the Open, right? Because it's the same thing every year, just mixed up a little differently.
Five AMRAPs.
Yeah, right?
One will be shorter.
You're going to see some burpees.
One will be longer, and then there'll be other AMRAPs in between those long and short ones.
There's going to be
and there'll be randomly
double unders. There will be wall balls. There'll be snatches.
Yeah,
I saw that.
McGoldrick, yeah, he's referring to an article this guy posted on his blog, which is a statistical analysis of all the movements from, I think he did it in 2010, 2011, 2012. He's kind of covered it every year.
This guy's got way too much time on his hands.
This, yeah.
Right?
The statistician
the that
has too much time.
I love CrossFit so much that when I get home from work, I do statistics on it.
Well, actually, the running the stats isn't like super, super hard because pulling the data is pretty easy because the game's website pulls it off. You can pull it off the game's website pretty easily, I think. I don't think he's having to type it in. I think he can kind of like export a folder maybe. Huh. I could be wrong. Anyways, he did an analysis. Like the most important CrossFit movement is like the snatch. All right? So that's like the most important movement to have.
Last year they were calling,
I think
after the Open, they were calling it snatch fit.
Snatch
fit? We were making fun of calling it snatch fit.
I'm down.
I mean, so many snatches.
We're buying that domain now.
Don't you want to have
snatchfit.com. I got it.
Don't you want to have a meet where you do snatch and you squat for 1RMs?
I was wanting to do make a sport where it's a snatch one rep max, you know, kind of like in weightlifting, and then a back squat one rep max. And
that's it. Sugarpalooza.
Well, that would be an interesting data study, I think.
That's what I.
How relative are those two numbers?
Well, I want to do that because that's what I'm good at. Like it's like. Because
I'm not competing in anything I can't win. Fuck that.
Yeah, jerking is hard. So I just want to.
That kind of jerking, sure.
Jerking
yeah.
is
what were we talking about? Chris derailed me again. We were talking about the stats of the movement. So he statted out the movements, and I think he statted out the time frame for the how long the wads might be and all that kind of stuff. But snatches are the most important movement, and then like pull ups and wall ball shots. There was like five that you're pretty much getting.
And then softball
throws.
Which,
like, I did not do a single pull-up at the CrossFit Games last year. No.
At the Games.
At the Games.
Yeah. And he was looking at
not a single pull-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I didn't make it to. Did they do pull-ups? Yeah. Fran was the only time they did pull-ups. The very last workout of the whole Games.
But you'll see him in the Open and at regionals for sure.
Do you think chest? I mean, they always do chest of bars.
They do chest bars every year.
You think
now?
They'll finish out with that Fran ladder again this year?
Yep.
I think you need to be doing butterfly chest bar pull-ups. People need to learn how to do those.
Somebody should tell Mike he doesn't have a microphone in front of him.
Yeah, we're all pausing. You're hearing
no
silence.
No one
that's
can hear you.
And we're all like, that is very titillating information.
What he said was he did think they would do the Fran ladder as the last workout again.
Yeah.
For the Open.
Classic.
Yeah. That's McGee's prediction.
What would you go tell yourself? Did we get that?
What
would you go back and tell yourself?
She would be better at facing the thing she knows she's bad at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
dealing
with it.
That pretty much happened every year. My weakness or just a goat that I ignored has come up every single year.
So this year, what's it going to be?
Well, she's already,
what'd you ignore this year?
She's
that,
already ignoring
that's coming
swimming.
Up? Swimming still? Anything
Hate
else
swimming.
That you're like, man, I did not practice my GHD med ball throws
well,
this year.
I have only practiced like parallel grip, handstand push-ups. Just okay. Not very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly any. I think bar muscle ups is something I should start throwing
Rise
in there
of
just
the
occasionally.
Goats.
I don't know. Just what I mean. I've never been inverted on the ring, so if they do throw in handstand push-ups on the rings for women, ooh. Yikes!
That sounds gnarly.
That's gonna be yikes for a lot of girls.
Mm-hmm.
Even the top dogs.
Oh, yeah, what's going on with your mic, bro?
It has fallen down quite a bit.
You've got droopy rod syndrome.
Oh man, his microphone's all jacked up.
What's the next question?
Another really good question that someone asked was, how does it feel to be a role model in the I guess in the CrossFit community, especially the women out there?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because I don't think I think of myself that way.
That's what all role models say.
That's what I say to myself in a mirror every morning when I brush my teeth. God damn, it's hard to be a role model. But I'll keep doing it because these people need me. Who give them the dick and masturbation jokes if not me? You want to go on the internet for that? Like to some random untrustworthy site? You got to get it from this show.
I'm just going to hold my mic up like this the rest of the show.
We're so high tech.
It is not working. Someday we're getting new mic stands.
By the way, guys, if this is your first podcast listening to, there's usually more information interspersed with the bullshit. So
you don't want to face the fact. You don't like. Does it make it uncomfortable to be known as a role model? Get a little embarrassed by it?
No, embarrassed is not the right word. I mean, it humbles me absolutely.
Embarrassed in a kind of like, oh, stop it kind of way. Oh no, I'm just a girl trying to work
Please,
out.
Please stop. I mean, no. What's the question again?
How does she feel
he
about
like
being a role model king. In her sport?
He is. It's true.
You do it on purpose, don't you? You're like, I'm about to fuck some shit up.
Everyone that listens is like, it's like, man, y'all get derailed a lot. And then when someone comes on the show, they're like, it is so hard not to get derailed.
We realize how fucking boring this show would be without my derailing. Let her finish. Let her finish, Mike.
I mean, the main answer is like, I'm humbled by that. I think it's, you know, it makes me feel good to feel like people are inspired by me, and it makes me want to work harder.
Yeah, you can't screw it up now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want too much pressure on me. So, will I make it a fifth time? I don't know. But there's a lot of eyes on me. So that's a little unnerving to think of it like as an expectation, but. I don't know. I think it just makes me want to have as much integrity as possible and walk the talk as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So
hashtag.
Hashtag.
Walk the talk.
If you don't make it, whose fault is it?
Yours.
Exactly.
just blame him and bash him on some other show.
We haven't even talked about that. So Mike Bledsoe is my coach this year.
Yay! Yeah.
Now the whole world knows.
So if she wins, then she'll get all the credit.
But if
she doesn't win, if she loses, then it's all my fault. No, that's how it goes.
It is, yeah. That's the role of
the coach. How every coach is, you know?
Yeah.
In every sport, I
think. Well, we will be cheering for you. I will be eating cheesecake and drinking beer and going,
so are
you
guys, you
get that wad.
Make the trip to West Palm Beach for the regional?
It'll be fun.
I'll be there.
You could podcast from West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking CTP with me. In the very least, he's going with me. We're going to get some good footage.
Awesome.
We're going to have a good time. I don't know. Does Doug want to go? Doug, do you want to go to West Palm Beach? In
what weekend is it again?
Middle of May.
It's
middle
like
of May.
May 15th. Some like
I could break. Be in town that weekend. But not anymore. I'll be in West Palm Beach. I was going to be in town. Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
We're like pimping out the Southeast Regional.
So what?
So we did a Daily BS earlier today.
Any questions that you have on your Twitter?
One of the questions was, which is a little different than... what would you tell yourself if you could talk to yourself 5 years ago? It's, what are some mistakes? I can't find the question.
We should definitely talk about that.
That's the one we started with.
There's a really good question.
What was
we
your biggest training mistake?
We spent an hour trying to answer it.
What was your biggest training mistake and that was Charlie on Twitter, at iCharlie3.
Dude's feed's going to blow up. Right.
He's going to have like 20 new follows.
Yeah. Which is pretty good.
It's a huge number of follows. No. My biggest, I just made what I think was the biggest training mistake. So that's an easy question for me to answer. I was, after the games this year, I'd read a lot of books. And one book I read was talking a lot about ketogenesis and, you know, how good the ketogenic diet is for you. And, you know, what girl doesn't want to be lean and have a six pack instead of a four pack?
Sure. Sounds sexy,
right?
And all
that. I mean,
that,
I'm 6% yeah. body fat, but I only have a four pack. So how do I get
So
how do I get a six pack? But I want to know.
Dude, I am so sorry. Nah, you just got to get different tools for measuring body fat.
No, she read the book. You read the book.
Yeah, I read the book. And so I'm like, I'm going to do this ketogenic thing because I'm going to burn a lot of fat. And it's going to be a fuel source for me and be ready to go. And I did that for like 6 months after the games this year. And
it's only an off-season thing if you're trying to get stronger.
Yeah, it was bad. Oh, God, it was bad. And what I realized is that I was thinking of myself. I mean, I coach so many people. And most of my members... clients want to lose weight and get leaner, but they're not working out like 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. And so I was still thinking of myself as like a weight loss client when I need to be thinking of fueling myself as a performance machine. So
exactly.
I was, for 6 months, I ate less than 50 grams of carbs a day and I didn't really get any stronger. My numbers didn't drop off, but I didn't get any stronger.
Doug just rolled his eyes at you.
I was like, rolling my eyes like, fuck, dude. I'd feel sick most of the time if I tried to do that.
What happens, I got really depressed. I did not want to go to the gym. And every time I forced myself to go to the gym, I resented it. I was like, fuck this. Why am I here? I'm not having fun. It
I like
sucks.
Your style.
Oh, you're bound to be depressed on that,
but
that low carb intake.
I forced myself to do it. Finally reached out to Rob Wolf and I was like, please help me. I think something is wrong with my diet. That could it be something in my diet that's causing this awful depression and me to not make any progress on lifting, which in the off seasons when you want to get like jacked and
lots
shit.
Of progress on lifting.
Yeah,
that's right.
Cause that's all strong. We're doing all lifting. And he was like, well, are you eating enough carbs? And I was like, huh. Well, I've kind of been doing this ketogenic thing for the last 6 months.
I've kind of been eating no carbs. Like,
negative carbs? Is that
like
possible?
Ever.
I can see Rob Wolf shaking his head at his keyboard just like, oh, God.
Yeah. No, he was like, dude, ketogenic diet is for fat, sick people, and you need to eat carbs. And he told me to eat 2 grams of carbs per pound of body weight on training days, which was like 5 times as much carbs as I had been eating.
You start feeling better like right away?
No, it actually took a while.
Did it?
Yeah, because I think I just was like, I was deep in the hole of like melancholy.
Yeah.
I was like, why am I alive? I don't know. it was bad.
So yeah. I get in some discussions with some like ultra ketogenic diet people, and they're like, well,
they're hardcore.
You can't get the benefits of ketogenic unless you've been in there a long time. And I'm like, well, I did it for 6 weeks, and I when I reintroduced like post-workout shakes that had sugar in them, I saw a big jump in my performance. I'm like, well, you just didn't go hard enough, long enough. You didn't do it well enough.
Right.
You know, kind of like vegans.
That's
you're
true.
Not doing it well enough.
No, they
yeah,
will tell you.
That's what they want to say.
More Cheetos.
Yeah.
So
you're
how
probably
long,
not
how long did, were you in ketosis? Because I want to, just as a reference, I would like to use you as a reference. Like, how long were you in ketosis?
It was.
And did you see any benefits out of that?
I really didn't get any leaner because I think I was essentially in starvation mode. And so my goal was to lean out a little bit, which was stupid because I should have been trying to put on muscle, but I didn't really lean out and it like got into ketosis very easily. So 6 months, essentially.
You spent like 6 months in ketosis. Did you come out like,
I was
you know,
in and
every
out.
Couple weeks?
Yeah, I was in
like
and
that?
Out. Occasionally, I would do a carb load if I felt really, really bad. So,
how frequently would you do that?
Well, I started out doing it. When I first started playing with ketogenesis, I was doing like a carb cycling. So, like, I would carb load twice a week. And then I was like, well, I only need to carb load on the weekends after reading Pasquale. And then after that, I was like, well, I read the other book about the low carb living or whatever. It's the new one, Volek and Finney. It's got a lot of PR. But then I was like, I really don't need to carb load ever at all. So, But then I would, you know, everyone has moments of weakness. So I would occasionally eat like a whole bunch of carbs, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't frequent enough that it made me start feeling any better. So
is it accurate that I picture you in these dark times training, feeling bad in a blacked out weight room, like with the Cure blaring and you like, you know, brooding behind the barber before you lift and the depressing 80s music's pumping and you're trying and you're like, yeah, all I want is like anything with sugar in it. Pint of ice cream.
It's like you're psychic. Were you watching me?
No. He's a creeper. No, like in the window.
I wasn't watching you. I've just been there before.
I understand you, man.
I think that was it. I think that's good.
No, it was bad. Sure. So don't go.
So don't read books.
Don't use teachers. Well, what I will say for myself, just to like defend myself a little bit, is that when I read research on something and I want to know how my body's going to respond to that particular kind of diet, then I try it and I'm really committed to it. So, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn just at the wrong time of the year, but
experimentation is important.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Short term,
I don't know when a good time of the year would be. Like, you wouldn't want to do that right before the competition season.
Well, look, right now, I mean, it's stupid.
As far away from pop.
Well, would I have learned that had I not made that mistake? I don't know, but you learn from your mistakes.
I mean, around the time you screwed up, you lost some progress. But you did commit fully to the experiment. You realized exactly what was wrong with it. And you lived there for a while. And now anybody else who approaches you with that issue can share a real experience with.
And I was open-minded enough to know that Rob Wolf knew what he was talking about, and I was going to try what he told me.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
I don't eat 2 grams of carbs per pound of body weight on training days. I don't eat that many carbs because I don't feel like I could really consume that many without getting sick. But I eat a lot more carbs now. And I also, Mike, right around the same time, Mike and I started working together. He told me to start supplementing with BCAAs and also some kind of starch to mix those together. And so I'm doing that now. And this is the first time.
Into a workout shake. This is a liquid thing while you're working out.
Yeah. Like you guys.
What kind of shakes aren't liquid things?
Well,
it's a liquid thing.
Can you like.
For the audience, it's a liquid thing you drink.
Can you like put in some crickets right after he said that? Because there was a moment of silence and nobody. it's plasma. No.
Okay, you're all right. Now you're taking BCAAs plus some type of starchy powder.
Mm-hmm. Which I believe the recommendation was waxy maize, but I cannot take waxy maize because I'm allergic to corn.
Mm.
And so, I reached out to Rob again, and he said take Vitargo. Which is apparently a Swedish company that makes supplements, and it's made from fractionated barley, apparently.
Sounds fancy.
And it's gluten-free, so I use that instead of waxy maize, and I think that's helping, too, because this is the first year I've ever supplemented with anything. I've only ever eaten food up to this point. I've never taken protein powder, anything other than, like, food and fish oil.
Well, a long history in fitness, magnesium. That's crazy.
Yeah, 17 years.
So now that you started taking the shakes and stuff, how long did it take to notice a difference?
Well, and that's an interesting.
What was the difference?
That's interesting too, because I started that about the same time I started eating more carbohydrates. So I think both of them are contributing, but I'm actually enjoying being in the gym again. I'm able to push harder in my workouts, but most noticeably my mood, like I don't want to sleep all day anymore. So I feel a lot better. I'm happier. People can talk to me without me biting their heads off, and
usually a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's when you own a gym and people want you to coach them. It's kind of good to be nice to them.
Yeah, you have to be nice.
Makes me feel like breaking back out some sweet potatoes in the morning. Mm. I'm planning on a comeback, or I'm doing a meet in my garage, just me, like in May.
A solo meet.
Mm-hmm. Solo meet.
Did you buy trophies
for this? I can make a meat
this?
Joke. I'm not going to do the meat joke.
M-E-A-T.
But no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go out in my garage one crisp, beautiful May morning. I'm going to do a meet, just me, 3 attempts each lift, squat, bench, deadlift. I'm going to see what I can do. So I got to get back at it. I got to start eating these carbs. I mean, 500 grams of carbs a day?
You got to start 500? Eating carbs?
500 grams of carbs a day?
You need at least 500 grams of carbs a day.
Plus 8,000 grams of protein?
Yes. That's 2 grams per pound of body weight.
No, listen, so
wait, 50
grams. That was a joke.
But I will say, you're never too experience to learn that you're making some dumbass mistake. Because I've been eating like 100, 150 grams of protein for like a year, which is, you know, weighed like 275 pounds. I think, by my science, that's not enough.
2 grams of carbs per pound of body weight on training days.
Yeah, just in training days.
I'm talking about protein now.
I'm talking about protein. But I don't know how much protein should... Look, I'm a big, sexy man, Doug. How many grams of carbs do I need on my training days? Which, by the way, now is about 5 days a week. I don't want to brag, but it's pretty intense. I'm getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm throwing weights around. I'm screaming in my garage. My neighbors think I'm a crazy asshole. I've lived there for like 2 weeks. How many grams of carbohydrates?
This dude moves to like the nice suburbs. He's been there for 2 weeks. He's like, ah!
And last night I'm pulling speed deadlifts with fucking West Side Connection blaring at 9 p.m. Oh,
I was just about to say, can you paint the picture?
Love West Side Connection.
Great.
Can you paint the picture for us like you set up my depressed lifting in the gym with the lights are off?
I felt pretty good. I blare The Clash. I blare the most inappropriate gangster rap I can find because I feel that if you don't have cursing in your rap, you're committing a great sin. It's not what rap's for. It's like trying to eat like tofu pizza. You just a sin against
so you
God,
don't
not
listen
creation.
To the new MC Hammer, where
fuck
he like,
no,
about
man.
Jesus himself.
I don't want to hear. I don't, look, Jesus is fine, but he has no place in my rap. Jesus shouldn't be
but
in the
do
rap
you try
game.
To mostly lift when it's storming and there's like thunder and shit, so
the only thunder the comes from my cracks, effort
and then you're like boom boom, I'm gonna squat now.
Boom, that's a boom boom, sure.
I'm gonna edit that out and make it my text
boom,
message
boom.
Ringtone.
Boom boom, I will squat.
Can you pull that audio? That's the new ringtone.
Yeah,
someone added the barbell. Yeah.
But joking aside, I think on the days that, like Mondays, I'm hitting hard 5x5 squats again. That's pretty brutal. So I think I'm going to enjoy a little sweet potato mash with my protein that morning before I do that.
I
want to thank the both of you for raising my awareness.
There you go.
And eat some sodium on top of that. It'll help.
Really?
Doug's getting tired of holding that mic.
I know, Mike. take a nap.
All right, we got
this.
We got one more question from... The handle is at CTP Shrugged. Strange. I think I know that guy. He asked.
Did you ask a question?
He asked, Shayna, can you introduce me to Julie Fouché? That's
did
our
you,
final
on the
question.
Spot.
Did you also want to meet her boyfriend?
Oh,
so he can shake, shake.
So,
no,
they, so they can fight.
He said no.
No, probably
so,
don't.
So earlier you were saying that you read a lot of books.
Yeah.
You got like top 3 books that you recommend for everyone before we close out?
That's kind of boring, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
It's a good balance. It's a good balance with all the other bullshit we've been
Ketogenesis.
Doing.
About diet or?
No, just in general.
Like your top 3 training books that you would recommend.
Ketogenesis, Horton Hears a Who, and what's the third one? What's the third one?
Horton Hears a Who.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think... Natural Hormonal Enhancement by Rob Fagan was really good. It gives you a really good idea what the hormones in your body are doing, like what role they play, and how to use them to your biggest benefit. So that's a great book, Natural Hormonal Enhancement. That's really a mouthful. You can't get it on Amazon, though. You have to get it self-published, so you have to get it. Just search the internet for it, and you can get through his website. What's about... Recently, I read a book. It's called Ultimate MMA Conditioning, and it's by a guy named Joel Jameson,
mm-hmm.
who I think actually OPT has studied with,
mm-hmm.
And he has some really great methods for conditioning and also how to use basically periodization in your mm-hmm. training and doing blocks of certain types of training, how to train energy systems so that they don't interfere with each other or negatively affect
good
each
stuff.
Other.
Mm-hmm.
There's some great info in that book. So
yeah, it's a great point that even though it's marketed towards MMA people, mm-hmm. like all those training principles still apply to CrossFitters and football players and baseball players and anyone that's trying to get into like really high performance athletic shape.
And if you like to geek out on sciencey research and shit, then mm-hmm. that is something you will definitely enjoy.
Can I put that on a bumper sticker?
Yeah, Joel Jameson's a smart guy.
I haven't read it.
Do you have that book?
I don't have that book specifically, but I've seen stuff he's done before,
his
and I really like everything
really cool
that he does.
Too.
That's our next shirt, CTP. Yeah. Geek out on sciencey bullshit and shit. Barbellshark.com.
There you go.
Okay, you got one more book to name.
Pressure's on.
Should have told her to say
3.
I know.
I didn't know he was going to ask the question. Otherwise, I would have let you know.
I don't know. I would have to think more about it.
She will tweet it out. She will tweet it out between now and Wednesday.
There you go.
The secret.
I'll tweet.
If you dream in
Hashtag
your mind,
sciencey shit.
You will have what you dream about.
How do you spell sciencey?
It's science with a Y on the end.
Dummy. God.
Do you have? Do you keep the E or do you drop the E?
No, you can leave the E in there.
I before E except after C.
Why?
It has nothing to do with EY. Yeah. Chris went to public school.
That's the one I'm going to put on my phone. Yeah. I have a for E except after C.
All right, let's wrap this up. Doug, what do you want to promote / plug, whatever?
What do you think is most applicable for this show? Faction food. We didn't talk about mobility at all. We'll talk about faction foods.
Nutrition.
We did talk about mobility when we were trying to pimp out McG.
Yeah, we did talk about mobility a little bit. I'll plug the mobility kits for this guy right over here. If you want to improve your mobility and you want to work on your soft tissue restrictions, mobility kits at mobilitykits.com. The same one that this guy has right here. That's a life-size figure right there. That's really how big it is. It's really that big.
This is how big.
I'm watching two shows and going and making the first
That's not a masturbation joke.
You should do a tweet, a fan favorite episode. This is gonna be it.
That's right.
iTunes one more time.
That's right.
We plug Mike's kit literally. So.
Yeah. My hands are clean.
All right, Chris, what do you got? What are you plugging?
Nick Goldrick's not going to let us do any more advertising.
I know.
He's like,
no way. Everybody's going to be like, I got to get one of them mobility kits.
They're going to go off the shelves so fast.
Yeah. Well, my only go to the blog, thechrismoreblog.com. Read it. Check it out. Send me a message. Tell me what you think. The Simple Strength Seminar is pretty cool. And that's all. That's my humble plug. That's it.
The Simple Strength Seminar is pretty cool. That should be on the box.
That's pretty cool. You're going to bend over my
blog?
Yeah,
but you should credit it to, like, New York Times.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Testimonials from readers say, Simple Strength is pretty cool.
All right, what do you got to plug?
Actually, I want to plug my new sponsor, the BG Labs. They make really awesome BCAA supplements. I think their main focus is creatine. Mm. But I take their pre-workout mix called Berserker, which is
you tried that shit
ever.
Today, didn't you?
I took that for the first time today. I was like, a part of my brain woke up that I didn't, I think it was asleep.
It was like speed coaching.
Yeah. It was.
He was helping me with my only lifting.
Much coaching on speed, you mean?
I've only coached on speed a couple times.
Yeah.
But today I felt a lot like that. But yeah, I probably overcoached due to Berserker today.
Berserker.
Sounds great.
I like it because it gets me all jacked up right before. I'm going to just chug a bunch of it right before I work out. And
God bless you.
Gives me lots of energy. So, but yeah, check out. I believe their website is thebglabs.com. They got good stuff.
Hey, cool. BG, like Beautiful. The BG is the band? BG, how you spell that? Or just B and G?
THEBG.com.
It's clarifying. Fellow Bee Gees fans in the audience.
Sure, there's tons of them. if you live in Decatur, Georgia, should they come train at your place?
Oh, they should come to CrossFit East Decatur.
Yeah, CrossFit East Decatur.
I love my gym. Mm-hmm. It's very big. We have 10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Which you will see in CTP Cam following soon.
Oh, is there a CrossFit Spaghetti Junction?
These guys worked out with me this morning, so sort of. They worked out near me this morning.
I wouldn't call what we did was working out. We lifted some weights and
bullshitted.
My hamstring started bothering me, so I had to quit halfway through. But you know, whatever.
No. Yeah.
That goes into the whole training age thing.
All right. We are on Twitter at CF East Decatur. So.
There you go. Cool. Do you have a fan page for Facebook?
For the gym?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. CrossFit East Decatur.
Check it out. All right. Make sure to go to Facebook and like our fan page, Barbell Shrug. Go to our website.
I like it.
Barbell Shrug. You do like it.
I do.
Shane is a fan.
Isn't that right, Jason?
Hey, we finally got it.
Oh, shit.
Is that an inside joke?
I'm yeah.
Okay. You'll see it when you watch the episode.
Watch the video,
though. Watch the video.
iTunes doesn't get that.
Yeah, sorry. So go to fan page on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and go and sign up for our newsletter so you can get all sorts of updates in your emails. We don't send out too many, I don't think, a couple times a week, just to get notifications of technique wads, daily BSs, stuff like that, and notifications of this show coming out. And also, what else we want people to do?
I want everybody to take this episode right here, if you enjoyed it, and share it on your Facebook wall for all your homeboys and pimps and hoes to see.
Thank you, producer.
And go to iTunes, and if you really like this episode, and if you like this podcast, give us 5 stars, leave a comment.
We should start asking.
Only positive comments and 5 stars.
If you leave us a 3-star review.
If you plan on leaving
if you don't like us that much.
If you plan on leaving anything less than 5 stars, don't do it. All right?
Just never mind.
Right. Yeah.
Pretend like you didn't hear that.
Just go listen to another podcast or something. All right. See y'all next time.
That is it. Thanks, guys. Yeah.